Amen. If you've got your Bibles, go with me to the book of Hebrews. In the next 30 minutes, we've got a lot to accomplish. We've been in the book of Hebrews, and today I'm going to teach on something that I have lived, something that I continually live on, that God continually teaches me. I've been married to this man for about 33 years. It'll be 34 in January. January 20th is our anniversary. We'll be married 34 years. We brought a blended family together. We have raised 4 children, and we have 11 grandchildren, one more on the way. My oldest grandson is 20. He's graduating from the Navy. He's getting married, and I could be a great grandmother by next year. Hope not. So what I'm saying to you, and I'm giving you those brief credentials just so that you know that what I'm saying this morning is something that I'm continually living, continually learning. And I won't stop learning this until I close my eyes on this earth and I open them in heaven. And I want to teach this morning on prayer. And we're in the book of Hebrews, and we're in the 4th chapter. And in Hebrews chapter 11, if you'll look with me in verse 14, it says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin." Verse 16 is where we're going today. "Therefore, let us boldly come before the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need." There is a lifetime of learning in that verse, in those verses. A lifetime. This morning I want to speak on the boldness of prayer, the skill of bold praying. I've watched the Lord change our lives as husband and wife. Jim and I brought a broken family together. I've watched him take this church from 12 people to what it is today, thousands upon thousands. I've watched him take children that had gone south and bring them out of the very fires of hell and bring them into the pulpits of this church and other churches. My children are preaching the gospel. Henny and Miranda have the Rock Church of Temecula. I have watched God do miracles in our lives because of this verse. And if there is one thing I would say to you as a woman of God, I would say in my age now, I would say never stop going before the throne of grace. It is a privileged place. It is a rare place. It's a place that no one else on the planet can go but you and I. You can go see your senator, you can go see your congressman, you may even get to shake the president of the United States' hand. But you and I are the only ones by the blood of Jesus that can get to the throne of God, the highest place in the universe, to receive grace. It's a throne of grace to obtain mercy and receive grace in time of need. So this morning I want to look at some steps to praying a bold prayer, the skill of bold praying. Bold praying, I found this in my life. There's many times when I've gone to the Lord in prayer. When I was a young believer, I was learning how to pray, and I'm still learning how to pray, so please don't think that I've arrived. But as a young woman of God and newly married and found myself pregnant our first year of marriage and praying over my children and praying over the situations in our lives. Jim, I married Jim and there wasn't a job. He'd lost his job the day before we got married or 20 days before we got married. So we actually had to start all over again. So many things were hitting us as young people, as a young couple. And I didn't know how to walk in faith. I didn't know how to pray the prayer of faith. And so I saw in the Word of God, and I see in the Word of God, that there's so many people that prayed, but then there were those that had the Word of God and prayed an effective prayer that changed everything. The Bible tells us about Elijah, who in the book of James prayed the effective prayer, that he prayed and it didn't rain for 3 years, and he prayed again and it rained. And I don't know about you, but if I think about that for just a minute, I think about, gosh, can you imagine praying and an entire nation stops raining and there's a drought for 3 years at my prayer? And then I go before the throne of God and I pray again and rain comes after 3 years. I mean, I don't know about you, but that's not an easy prayer to pray. Either God backs that or he doesn't. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There are prayers that get you nowhere, and there are prayers that change your life. There are prayers to get you somewhere, and then there are prayers that you stand before the throne of God with boldness, and you decree and declare it before the Lord. He hears what you say, and he does what you ask. And I want to talk about that kind of prayer today. coming boldly to the throne of grace, coming and knowing who you are, which Jim preached about last week, knowing that we are redeemed and reconciled and restored by the blood of Jesus, knowing that we go to that throne as a privileged place. He says, come. He doesn't say run. He says, come. But how do I come? And I want to look at this morning, and I want to look at, through the Old Testament, an example of a man that didn't pray the prayer of faith and through a process of trouble was able to go before the throne of God in a temple and pray the prayer that needed to be prayed to rescue his nation. It was King Hezekiah. Because you and I are going to have trouble. You and I are going to have hell coming against us. We're going to have a diagnosis that we don't want to hear. We're going to have things happen to our children that we don't want happening to our children. We're going to have economic trouble. We're going to have political unrest. We're going to be a generation in war or out of war, depending on what generation we're born into and what happens. We are going to have trouble in this world. And Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble. But the buts of God are so powerful. Be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. So trouble is not my enemy. Trouble can actually be used as the greatest asset in my life because it trains me to be an overcomer in this world. So I don't have to be afraid of it, but I've got to know what to do when trouble comes and where to go with the trouble and how to go so that the trouble can actually switch around to my good, because God causes all things to work for good to those that love God and are called according to his purpose. All things, even the hell that comes against me, God can take that hell and turn it around. And it's nothing more than a spiritual setup so that I'm an overcomer and trained and taking out giants and learning how to possess the promise. But I got to know how to do this stuff. So I want to talk today about bold praying. So I'm going to say bold praying is, and I'm going to give you four things. We're going to see it out of the book of Hebrews in chapter 4. Bold praying is, number one, guided praying. Guided praying. What do I mean by guided praying? There's all kinds of ways to pray, and there's all kinds of definitions for prayer. Prayers of intercession, prayers of supplication, prayers of repentance. I'm talking about the prayer of faith right now. And there's a time when I need to know what is the will of God. And before I can pray the prayer of faith, I've got to come before God and I've got to figure out what his will is. I can be like Hezekiah, who doesn't know what the will of God is. And I can say, this is a time of trouble, and we're going to see that in a minute. Or I can come before God in the temple and say, now save. And between the trouble and the prayer of faith, there's a process of learning what the will of God is. Now, I want to talk about that for a minute. Now, there's a prayer that says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask in faith and pray. We can pray God for this. We can pray for the will of God to be known to us. That's a process. But then there's a time to come before the throne of God and pray the prayer of faith. And you already know what it is because you've heard the word of God, and now you know how to pray it. Now watch this. What is guided praying? True prayer is God's prayers prayed through us. True prayer is God's prayers prayed through us. He's the head, we're the body. He's the high priest. We are the people. He's the head, we're the body. He's not disconnected from us. Jesus Christ is in the heavenly heavens. He's in the third heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father. We're on planet Earth. God has commissioned us as the body of Christ to bring the kingdom of God to us and through us to this earth. God needs his will and his prayers prayed through us. Now I can pray, your will be done, your kingdom come, but I got to find out what that will is. Are you hearing me? Romans chapter 8, verse 26 says, likewise, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. That's us. We don't know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. Now, in the Pentecostal church, and we are charismatic Pentecostals, we teach us as praying in other tongues. We pray from man to God and God to man. Praying in the Spirit. Yes, that's a part of it, but that is not all of it. Praying with groanings that can't be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is. Who searches the hearts? There's only one. God the Father searches the hearts. He knows what the mind of the Spirit is because he makes intercession for the saints. The Spirit makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. True prayer is God's prayers prayed through us. The Holy Spirit teaches us what to pray. He teaches us what to pray. If you want to know how to pray, then begin a journey with the Holy Spirit on that issue that you want to go before God with, and let Him speak to you. Let Him speak to you in the Word. Let Him speak to you with the promises of God. Let Him speak to you in services like this, and the Spirit of God will speak to you and quicken something in your heart. He'll begin to say, here's an example of this. This is what you're living. Look at this in the Word of God. He'll begin to digest the Word of God as you put it in your heart. He'll begin to say, now you can see that promise worked for them. You can see that situation happened to them. You can see this is this. Now your situation is in a different time zone and it's different, but it's the same principle. And if it worked for them, it'll work for you. And He begins to guide you and teach you how to pray the will of God over that situation. Case in point is a king named Hezekiah. Hezekiah was 25 years old when he came into the rule of Judah. He reigned for 29 years, and he was a Reformation king. He was a good king. He rebuilt the temple. He reestablished the tithe and brought the Levites back in and the priests back in. But Hezekiah inherited a problem from his father. The king of Assyria that had already carted out Israel, the 10 tribes of Israel, now was trying to put the yoke of bondage upon Judah, the 2 tribes that King Hezekiah was over. And King Hezekiah had already had 46 cities ransacked and destroyed by Sennacherib, King Sennacherib. Already 46 cities had been destroyed. Already 200,000 people had been carted off to Assyria. And now the Rabshakeh, which is the general, is at the gate of the walls of Jerusalem. And he is ranting and he is railing. And he is telling Hezekiah, speaking in his native tongue, Hebrew, with all the people on the walls listening, that God cannot save Jerusalem and that the king of Assyria is going to destroy that city. And I'm talking about guided praying. I'm talking about when trouble hits. I'm talking about praying the prayer of faith, bold praying. So Hezekiah hears this bad news. He's already living in it. He's been a righteous king, and now it comes. And he takes that message, and he goes to Isaiah the prophet. So go with me to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah is the prophet of God at this time. And he goes to the prophet Isaiah. He doesn't know what to do. He doesn't know what to pray. He needs a word from God. There is effective praying. It's praying the will of God. It's knowing the word of God for that situation. Elijah could pray it. He could call down rain, thus saith the Lord. He had the word of God on it. He could stand before the people and decree and declare it. That is praying, and it happened. And then there's others that just don't know what to do, and nothing changes. Now Hezekiah's in that situation. He goes to Isaiah, and he says in Isaiah chapter 37, verse 3, and they said to him, thus says Hezekiah, the messengers that he sent to Isaiah, this day is a day of trouble and rebuke and blasphemy. For the children have come to the birth, but there is no strength to bring them forth. Hezekiah doesn't know what to do. 46 cities gone. 200,000 people wiped out. Gone. Now, enemies at the gates. And you know, right now, you and I can have an enemy at our gate. We can have an enemy at the gate of our soul. We can have an enemy at the gate of our family. We can have an enemy at the gate of our children. We can have an enemy at the gate. And Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against the church, but I got to know how to work in the kingdom of God. The enemy's at the gate, just like Hezekiah. And this is what Isaiah says. He says in Isaiah 37:7, surely I will send a spirit upon him, and he shall hear a rumor, and he shall return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. Now, this is the Rabshakeh who's railing against God. Hezekiah gets that word. It begins to put faith in his heart. You see, that's what happens with guided praying. You're searching for the word. You don't know what to do. That's why you need to get to the throne of God. That's why you need to get to the house of God. That's why you need to seek out the man of God and the woman of God. You need to have your ears open and your heart open, because God wants to put a word in your heart. He wants to put a word in your soul, because he wants you to stand before the throne of grace and begin to pray the prayer of God. But you can't do it if you don't know how to pray it. So now Hezekiah hears the word of the Lord. So step 2, number 1 is guided praying. Hear the word and get the word on it. Now step 2, bold praying. praying the prayer of faith. I'm going to have to now go before the Lord. And bold praying is praying in faith. Praying in faith. We have so much teaching on this, but hear the word of God. Mark 11, 22 through 24. Show and tell time. Jesus has 1 week left on the earth. He has cursed the fig tree. The disciples have seen that fig tree wither and die in front of them. A tree fully grown, just suddenly dead. And Jesus says, it's a show and tell, it's a lesson. Children, let me show you the kingdom. Let me show you what you're inheriting. Let me show you what the new birth is going to bring you. Let me show you what the new covenant, the covenant of God, that I'm going to be the high priest of your confession. And you're going to have a throne that you can finally get to. And you're going to be able to stand before this throne. And you're going to be able to speak to that mountain. And you're going to be able to pray the prayer of faith. And like this fig tree, it will have to obey you. So Jesus says in Mark chapter 11, so Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God, because they looked at that fig tree. For assuredly I say to you, Rock Church, 21st century Christians, the King of Glory speaking to us directly. For assuredly I say to you, Church of the Living God on planet Earth. For assuredly I say to you, whoever, not apostles and prophets and pastors, whoever, that's every person in this building, everyone listening to my voice online, all over the earth, the whoever's of God, that's the men and the women of God that are born of the Spirit of God, are the whoever's. Whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things that he says will be done, he'll have whatever he says. Verse 24, therefore, the prayer of faith, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray. Whatever things you ask when you pray. That's why when I go to God to ask for something, if it's not wisdom, if it's not the will of God on a situation, which is the seeking part, the guiding part, now I've got it. Whatever you ask when you pray, now I've got it. Believe that you shall receive it. Believe that those things, believe that you receive them and you will have them. The prayer of faith. There's a time to seek and there's a time to ask. There's a time to seek and there's a time to ask. There's a time to seek and there's a time to ask. When you know the will of God, when you know what God's will is on that situation, now it's time to pray the prayer of faith. Whatever things you ask, they're going to be done for you. Hezekiah gets a word from Isaiah. Hezekiah is told the Rabshakeh is going to be destroyed. But here's what happens in chapter 37. We're talking about bold prayer, guided prayer. Hezekiah gets the word from Isaiah. He hears that God's going to send a blast, a spirit to the Rabshakeh. He's going to go back to his country and he's going to die. Well, that happens. But then guess what? The king of Assyria, Sennacherib, sends letters and another embassy. And he says, hey, what the Rabshakeh said, I'm going to do. I'm going to take you out. Who do you think you are, Hezekiah? Who do you think Jerusalem is? That you can stand against me, the king of Assyria, when I have wiped out all the nations around you and all their gods. Their gods have not been able to stand before me, and your God will not be able to stand before me. Now Hezekiah, who didn't know how to pray, now he's got the letter. You see, the enemy is not going to quit. He's going to come to your gate. He's going to rail and he's going to rant. He may go away for a season, but he will come back. So now what are you going to do? Now you know the word of the Lord. So this is what Hezekiah does. I'm talking about praying in faith. Bold prayer knows that what they are praying is the will of God, because this is what Isaiah does in Isaiah chapter 37. I'm going to read 5 verses. I'm going to put one on the overhead, so listen to what Isaiah prays. I said Isaiah. Hezekiah, King Hezekiah. Isaiah is the prophet. Hezekiah is the king. Hezekiah prays to the Lord saying, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, the one who dwells between the cherubim, you are God, you alone. Of all the kingdoms of the earth, you have made heaven and earth. Incline your ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see. And hear all the words of Sennacherib, which he has sent to reproach the living God. For truly, Lord, the king of Assyria has laid waste all the nations and their lands. I'm not putting my head in the sand, God. This thing is really at the gate. But here's the deal. Here's the prayer of faith. And they have cast their gods into the fire, for they were not gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore, they are destroyed. Now, here's the prayer. Verse 20. Now, therefore, O Lord, our God, save us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you are the Lord, you alone. He didn't know what to pray before. He said, this is a terrible time, a time of trouble, a time when you can't bring to the birth. The enemy's at the gate. God sends Elijah. Here's the word of the Lord. I'm going to send a spirit. I'm going to take that Rabshakeh. I'm going to get him out of your way. But here comes the letter. It's not over. The enemy's still there. Now he takes that letter and he goes to the temple of God. He goes to the throne of God. He goes to the earth place. He goes to where God's altar is. He goes to the house of God. You and I are commanded to go to the throne of God. I don't even have to come to church to pray. I can pray in my closet at home. I can pray in my car. I can pray in the middle of nowhere. I don't have to search and find a building. I am the building. I am the temple. And I can kneel and I can spread the letter out before the Lord and I can say, Lord, here's what the enemy is saying, but Lord, here's what you are. Save, oh Lord. You see, that's the prayer of faith. Now you know what to pray. 1 John 5:14-15 says, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. Did you hear what John said to the church? Bold praying is guided praying. That's why it's so important to find the will of God in the word, in a word from God. And it better be confirmed by the word of the Lord in this book, because this book is true. Not some prophecy somebody says. If it doesn't get confirmed by that, it's not God. It's foolishness. It'll fall to the ground. But guided prayer is praying the prayers of God, taking time to find out, taking time to be afraid, taking time to go through the process of getting faith in your heart. Then when you get that faith in your heart, now Jesus said, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them. You see, when I ask for that kind of thing, I better pray the prayer of faith. I got to believe that I've received. I got to believe that God has heard me. I got to believe that I've prayed the word of God. I got to have the assurance. I just can't hope it's out there somewhere. That's not the prayer of faith. That's not the prayer that changed my children. That's not the prayer that snatched them out of hell. That's not the prayer that takes broke people and busted people and brings them into prosperity. That's not the prayer that puts a right mind in a mind that's going south. That's not the prayer that delivers out of drug abuse. That's not the prayer that saves a marriage. The prayer that does that is the prayer of faith. Know what the will of God is, and then you pray it and you believe it. Until you can believe it, don't pray it. You're still seeking. You're still seeking. That's not a bad place to be, but that's not where you need to be to change. Now you prayed the prayer of faith, and he says very directly, if I know God hears me, I know I have the things I've asked for. If that's not assurance and confidence, I don't know what is. So Isaiah is taught prayers from God, and he says to Hezekiah, go and tell Hezekiah this. Now he's spread this thing out before the Lord in the temple. He's prayed the prayer of faith. God answers him. God answers Hezekiah. In chapter 37, he says, and I don't have this on the overhead, but he says, then Isaiah, the son of Amos, sent to Hezekiah saying, thus says the Lord, don't you love the conversation? God will answer you. That's why I go to the word. That's why I take my Bible with me when I pray. Because I don't have Isaiah the prophet. I don't need him. I've got Jesus, my high priest, who's in the heavens. He's already written it down. All I have to do is go to the word, and the Spirit of God will quicken that word to my heart. He'll quicken that confidence to me. He'll give me the word of the Lord that I need when I've prayed the prayer of faith, and all hell's coming against me now, because between the amen and the hallelujah, there's going to be a walk of faith. So God gives Isaiah a word. This is what he says. Then Isaiah, son of Amos, verse 21, says to Hezekiah, thus says the Lord, because you have prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria. This is the word which the Lord has spoken concerning him. The virgin, the daughter of Zion, which is Judah, has despised you, speaking of King Sennacherib, laughed you to scorn. The daughter of Jerusalem has shaken her head behind your back. O wicked king, O Satan, you're railing at me and telling me you're taking out my children. You're railing at me and telling me you're taking out my marriage. You're railing at me and telling me you're taking out our economics. You're railing at me and telling me you're taking out my nation, my state, my people, my city. Oh, I don't think so. Because you haven't come against me, you've come against the living God. You've come against the living God. Just as Sennacherib wasn't coming against Hezekiah, he was coming against the God of heaven, because Hezekiah was his son. He was in covenant with God. He was the king of Judah. How much more shall the body of Christ, who is bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, when the enemy rails against our children, our marriages, our church, our city, our jobs, our destiny, that's Satan coming against God, coming against Jesus, because you come against Jesus when you come against me. And I better know that. I better know that, because I'm going to have guided prayer. I'm going to have to pray the prayer of faith. And number three, I'm going to have to persist in this thing. Because between the amen, which is God, I believe it, I receive it, and the hallelujah, I actually physically have it in my life, there is a walk of faith. This thing doesn't just happen. It doesn't just get over like that. Sometimes it takes years for a prayer to get answered. Sometimes it's moments. The answer is there. God says it's yours. God says it's yours, child. But the manifestation of that may take a while. And between the amen, I believe I receive it, and the hallelujah, I got it, there is a journey of faith, and you are going to need some things in the arsenal of that journey, which is mercy and grace to help in a time of need. God says you are going to have guided praying. You're going to have to pray the prayer of faith. Now, child, bold praying is persistent. It's not going to quit. It's not going to have a meltdown. It's not going to absolutely go backward and say, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm not going to the house of God anymore. I'm not believing God anymore. Nothing's happened. Nothing's changed. It's all the same. It's getting worse. No, the prayer of faith, bold praying, knows it at the throne of God. He says, run to the throne. It's a throne of grace, God's sovereign divine ability to get the job done on your behalf when you can't do it. Grace, God's power in me to do what his truth demands of me. When I need to change, when I need to rearrange, when I need to drop something, when I need to take sin out of my life, there's the throne of grace that I'm to run to and not from. When there's trouble, I'm not to run from God, I'm to run to him. And the enemy wants to do everything he can to just get us away, take us off track. But between the amen and the hallelujah, God says, you be persistent. Don't you quit. Don't you quit. Hezekiah gets a word. Hebrews 10:36 says, for you have need of endurance. You have need of endurance, church. Oh, put your weapons on. For after you have done the will of God, you're not out of the will of God. All hell's coming against you, that's all. You pray for something, one to get healed, and they get worse. You pray for your finances and you lose your job. But God, I prayed the prayer of faith. I know this is your will. I know it. He will do everything he can to get your knower off your knowing. He will do everything he can to get your knower, your faith, off your knowing, off the promise of God. That's the amen, but there's a journey to the hallelujah. Hezekiah had to endure Sennacherib coming with his army to the walls of Jerusalem. He didn't get out of the battle. He had to endure the time that it took for that king to go from Assyria all the way to Jerusalem. It wasn't like, oh, Rabshakeh's dead and the king of Assyria is destroyed. No, the king of Assyria came with his armies. But Hezekiah had a knower and a word from God, and he knew that God was going to deliver them, and he had to be persistent. Come boldly to the throne to receive mercy. To actually, the word is obtain mercy. You have to accept it and you have to take it. God's got it for us, but I can't get it if I'm not at the throne. I can't get it because that's where it is. It's at the throne. It's not watching television. It's not worrying. It's not talking to all my friends. It's not even going to church to do my good works. It's at the throne. You can be at the throne right here, sitting in this sanctuary right now. Your heart is hearing the word of God. You're at the throne of God, but you got to be at the throne to obtain mercy. You got to receive it, and you got to take it and say, God, I don't deserve it, but I'm taking this because it's mine because you said I could have it. And I don't care what Sennacherib says. You said he's not going to take over. He's not taking this city. So then, not only do you have to persist, do I have to persist, but last one, and I'll quit with this. I have to declare the outcome. Between the amen and the hallelujah and the prayer of faith and boldly coming before the Lord, I got to declare the outcome. I got to say something. Everything has ears. Everything has ears. I learned this a long time ago. Moses spoke to the rock and it gave water. Joshua spoke to the walls. They shouted and the walls came down. Jesus spoke to the storm and it quieted. Jesus spoke to the fig tree and it obeyed him. Everything has ears, material and immaterial. Walls have no life. Trees have no soul, but they have ears. Storms and tornadoes and hurricanes, they have nothing that you can see, but they had an ear to hear, peace be still, when Jesus calmed the storm. Everything has ears. Everything. And God says, now that you have found my word, guided praying, now that you have stepped into my throne and prayed the prayer of faith, you have an assurance that I've prayed the will of God. You know that I've heard you. And if I hear you, child, you got it. If I hear you, you got it. I'm not going to hear your foolishness, but if I hear your prayer of faith, if you pray the prayer of God in this situation, the will of God in this situation, be assured, Debbie Cobray, that I have heard you. It is my will to bring this on the earth through you and your life and your family. It shall be done. But between the amen and the hallelujah, I better have endurance. And now I better decree and declare with authority what God says is already mine. Last verse. Isaiah 37:36, and the angel of the Lord went out and killed in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when people arose early in the morning, there were corpses, all dead. One angel wiped out 185,000 warriors. From a man that didn't know what to do, there's trouble. This is a day of blasphemy. The children have come, but they can't be brought to the birth. I don't know how to pray. I don't know what to do. Isaiah, I need a word from you. To the word of the Lord coming to Hezekiah, guided prayer. To Hezekiah taking that letter from Sennacherib. That threat, the enemy's at the gate, it's real. Going before God, the throne of God on the earth, the temple. Laying it out before the Lord and saying, save, O Lord. The prayer of faith. To having to be between the amen and the hallelujah, having to wait as that army does come. It does come. It did come. It was at the gate again. The enemy's still at the gate. It's at the gate. I prayed the prayer of faith. I am persisting, but it's at the gate. And one day, one angel goes out, and those 185,000 warriors are all dead. One angel. One angel. You have, and I have, the King of glory that has gone through the third heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father, that has purchased and paid for every promise of God, has washed me in his blood, has redeemed me back to the Father, has restored me and reconciled me. I have the kingdom of God at my beck and call. I have the resources of heaven at my life, and I'm going to be afraid. I'm not going to run to the throne of grace when I mess up, God. What, you don't know? Forgive me. There is healing and help and forgiveness at the throne. Have you messed up today? Well, then you're in the right place because now you can get right with God. He brought you here not to bash you, not to send you to hell, but he brought you here to save you. And guess what? You'll mess up again. And you'll mess up again. And you'll mess up again. And there's mercy at the throne of grace. There's forgiveness and healing and help. There's grace. There's the power of God to do whatever you need done in your life to get you from the amen to the hallelujah. So, wrapping this up, the skill of bold praying. Come boldly. Find out his will. Guided prayer is bold prayer. Find out first. Take the time to seek the Lord. Two, pray in faith. Once you find it, get to the throne. And when you pray, Jesus says, believe that you receive. Don't pray the prayer of faith until you believe you received it, because it's not the prayer yet. When you've prayed that, persist, for you have need of endurance, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promises. There'll be a journey from the amen to the hallelujah. And in that journey, declare with the authority of heaven behind you, in the name of Jesus, what God says he will do. And if God can send one angel to Hezekiah, how many can he send for you?